listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. I think I've managed to ruin the beginning of another live stream by accidentally playing my audio over the top of my own voice. Fourth time lucky, I guess.
You'll get there.
Today on the Cricket Podcast, we will be talking about Chennai Super Kings v Delhi Capitals, a match which at the halfway stage looked like it could be a real thriller until Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan ruined it for everyone. I'm Jack Hope, and today, as usual, I'm joined by Ross Legg. How are you doing, Ross?
Could be better, mate. Could be better. It's always nice to be when something you predict is going to happen actually happens. So well done, us.
I'm with Max Roe Brown. How are you doing, Max Roe Brown?
Well, quite obviously, I'm very, very sad.
And we're with Daniel Norcross, the voice of cricket across England, Wales, and other BBC
jurisdictions.
I'm sorry, I'm not having that. We're number one for cricket podcasts in Hungary on zero ducks given. So yeah, huge in Hungary.
That's incredibly impressive. We've been doing very well in Austria recently.
Well, that's close to Hungary. We're going to have a word about
that. Yeah, we could team up and make some sort of imperial empire.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the empire. Let's not do that.
Ross, before we get into the show and talking about all the cricket, can you quickly remind our listeners and viewers what they're supposed to do?
Yep, they should like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Cricket Pod. And obviously, tell your friends about it. We want to be number one in Hungary. So let's take them down.
Max, you're Mr. Summary. Can you give us the Max summary of that cricket match?
I can do. Although officially the IPL did start yesterday, obviously all cricket fans will know that the IPL properly started today, because that is when the Chennai Super Kings got their campaign underway. Obviously the most important team in the competition, as we all know. And there were quite a lot of interesting points to go over as we came into the game. You know, what will Pant be like as captain, standing in for Shreyas Iyer? Suresh Raina, will he be able to replicate the form of his historic IPL statistics? And also, who is the better Curran? So lots of flashpoints to cover. Pant succeeded with his first task of captaincy, winning the toss and the inserted CSK. And from the word go, at least for the first 75% of it, it was not a game you could have on in the background. Very quickly, CSK was 7 for 2. And Wokes in particular looking very dangerous with the swinging ball before Raina and Moeen Ali clawed things back and got CSK moving again, aided by a little bit of throwdown bowling from Ravi Ashwin, we could say. The wheels looked like coming off slightly when Raina was comically run out and Dhoni perished for a duck. But this was all really preamble to the real show in town, which was Curran on Curran action. And and it was Sam who came out on top in that particular battle, smashing 34 off 15 to really fire CSK to what was a decent looking 189 of 20 overs. And then in reply, Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan picked up where Curran left off and propelled the Delhi Capitals to 65 for no wicket off the power play. And then they continued to propel Delhi Capitals to 134 for none off about 11. And then really the rest was just a canter, wasn't it? It was CSK's bowlers being flayed to all parts and nothing that they could really do about it. And it was a very, very impressive win from the Delhi Capitals in the end.
Yeah. For a game with a lot of excitement in, it was a little bit boring, if that makes sense. Let's go right back to the beginning of the match. Chennai Super Kings did not get off to a great start, 11 for 2. But then Suresh Raina, he strode to the crease after about 15 years out of cricket. Ross, was it good to see Raina back at the crease?
Yeah, I'd not seen loads and loads of Suresh Raina actually bat. I remember when he was playing for India. But actually, he was great to watch, right? And it kind of talks about how class is definitely permanent there. It was almost hitting shots like he was a professional hockey fan, like a hockey player. Like there's one of the sixes, he was so low down. It was unbelievable. It was a great return from the second all-time leading IPL run scorer.
It certainly was. What did he end up with? 54 off 35 balls, something like that. Strike rate of 100, 150. Ably
that,
supported.
You?
Yeah,
you're
I'd take
that.
It. After not playing cricket for years, I'd definitely take that. Supported at the other end by Moeen Ali, who picked up 36 off the 24 balls he faced for a strike rate of 150 as well. Mm-hmm. It was nice from an England fan perspective for an English batter to finally get some revenge on Ravi Ashwin. Moeen Ali v Ashwin, the list of balls goes like this: 1.44.166 out. Dan, did you live vicariously through Moeen Ali to enjoy a taste of revenge against Ashwin?
Well, I just lived vicariously through Moeen Ali, full stop. And watching him with Suresh Raina, you're right, we saw more of Suresh Raina. There is more of Suresh Raina, isn't there, than the last time we saw Suresh Raina. And watching the two left-handers together was fantastic. I think it was quite noticeable, wasn't it, that the Delhi Capitals didn't have a bang-it-in hard bowler, because the moment Suresh Raina strides to the crease, you just find your biggest, ugliest, fastest bowler and say, stick it around about there, underneath the nose. And no one was quite in the Delhi Capitals lineup was really up for doing that. But you sort of got the feeling, didn't you? And Dhoni spoke about it after the game, that the pitch was getting better, or at least easier to bat on as the dew came down. I don't know how much dew is going to continue to be a factor, because as we go more into the summer, then there should be less dew, but there seemed to be plenty. And Moeen's contribution with the bat was superb, but his best and most comical contribution today was the beamer that wouldn't have stumped somebody. The commentators weren't quite aware, I think, that you can't be stumped, Noble. But
not aware of much, these commentators, we've discovered.
Well, actually, great news for all of you out there. You can now put on the BBC commentary, and that will save you from some of the other ministrations that you might otherwise hear on the TV. You'll have to do a little bit of fidgeting with the pause button. But you can sync it up. You can have Artif Nawaz, Ravi Papar and Simon Mann instead, which I have to tell you was a much more convivial way to spend the afternoon once I realised that I couldn't actually, I might throw the TV out the window. So
you mean you'd want to miss out on Danny Morrison doing an Indian impression?
In Mumbai. I'm jesting slightly. I'm actually doing a plug to the BBC, but yes, it was baffling, wasn't it? Because you sort of thought that's a competitive total. I was with you, Max, and thought, 189, that's going to make it interesting. But it had got noticeably easier and easier, hadn't it? And you're right, the current on current violence was sort of hilarious, because Tom let him get away with one. And I almost thought, is that fraternal love? I mean, in my family, there would have been none of that. But he gave him a full one on the pads that he could just simply flick away for four. But then I think the mood darkened with the larrup, the short ball that was larrup miles over deep mid wicket. Then it got a bit ugly.
And gloves are off at that point.
Yeah, and it's proof of the recent survey study that's been done, which is that youngest children are in every way vastly superior to older children within a family, which comes as no surprise to me at all.
I think we'd all vote against that.
Yeah.
On this podcast. But let's move on. Dan, you sort of touched a little bit on one of the themes that I think we should talk about, which was Delhi Capitals probably getting the order in which they use their bowlers slightly wrong. Mm-hmm. They fed, basically, Moeen Ali and Suresh Raina seven overs.
Suresh Raina does not need feeding.
No. And, you know, you could probably go as far as saying we wouldn't really have heard much about Moeen Ali or Suresh Raina if they weren't absolutely dominant against spin bowling. For a captaincy debut, or an IPL captaincy debut anyway, Rishabh Pant wasn't up to too much with his decisions, was he, Max?
No, but they did win by 7 wickets with loads of balls left. So, well, 8 balls left comfortably. So it wasn't all that bad. But I do agree that I think his captaincy was questionable. You're right to say that feeding them, as you put it, those overs of spin wasn't. It seemed a bad idea to start with. But what I didn't understand is why he persevered with it for so long. Like, he bowled Ravi Ashwin his 4. Just in one block, didn't he? Just bowled out his 4 in one go when he was clearly getting treatment. And you just think, maybe why not bring someone back? Bring one of the seamers had done such a good job as well up top that you just think maybe mixing it up would have been the right thing to do, and leaves you with a little bit more flexibility down the order as well. The other question, of course, is Chris Wokes not getting his full 4, having gone for getting 2 for 18 off his 3. Again, questionable, especially when Stoinis got 2, went for 26. So, I definitely think there's work to be done with his bowling selections. But the decision to open with Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan was a masterstroke and really paid off.
Was that the hardest of decisions to take? Being as they are both opening batters. One other thing I just want to say on the bowlers, I was a little bit surprised that Amit Mishra bowled 3 and Ashwin 4, because I know Mishra bowls the occasional drag down and what have you, but he mixes it up. It's different. He was the only spinner today on a pitch that was clearly taking a bit who really got it to turn. And I thought it was a bit strange all this comes down to Ashwin bowling 4 overs, and you sort of wonder whether that's going to persist through the course of the tournament.
Yeah, it looked to me like they just planned to bowl the old overs in that order and didn't reconsider that.
It was kind of a blueprint, wasn't it? It was almost a T20 blueprint captaincy right down before the game, who's going to bowl what overs, spin after the power play. Well,
maybe he had it on the back of his glove or something. It was like, over 7, trying to throw it over to Mishra. it wasn't great. And I think the big mistake was not giving Wokes his full 4. But as you say, Max, they did win pretty comfortably. Interestingly, though, at the halfway point, Cricviz's win predictor basically had Delhi Capitals at around 40%, or gave them about a 40% chance of winning. So they thought, the Boffins thought that score was above par. Ross, just to sum up that innings, do you agree with Winviz on that one? Or maybe Winviz's Saturday got off to an early start?
Yeah, I think they had one or two gin and tonics, so they hadn't really considered the CSK bowling lineup, I don't think. There is a bit of give and take in the CSK lineup anyway, but it was clear very early on that they were going to struggle to defend that total. And I think when you've got people like, informed Prithvi Shaw, who showed how good he actually can be, he was woeful last IPL, and Shikhar Dhawan, who he tipped for the orange cap, it was difficult to get them back under control. There was one thing that I'm still mystified by, and that was Tom Curran. And we've spoken about him a number of times on the podcast. Dan, I even think we spoke about on the recent tour of his kind of place in the England side. Here, he was doing okay. And then it went typically Tom Curran in his last over. But what is the... Why does he stick with the headband? Because when it comes to sport and sporting icons, that there are people who have become synonymous with clothing items, which has burgeoned both the brand as well as their wealth. Michael Jordan with trainers, Tiger Woods, the red top, black trousers. Tom Curran is not going to get something like that from a bandana range. Why is he continuing with it?
Well, Federer's already done it anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know, Tom is a very, very fine man and a splendid all-round cricketer, but he has made questionable choices about what goes on the top of his head for quite a while now. I mean, he had a top knot. He arrived at Surrey a few years back with that top knot, and it was quite shocking for all to see, quite frankly. So I don't know. I mean, these are his choices. There must be a reason for it. You're younger than me. If you can't get it, then he might be doing it wrong. I just assumed that I just didn't understand, and that a relatively thin-faced man, suit with a slightly furrowed brow, as his brother's tonking him for 17 runs in very unfraternal fashion, whether the bandana thing is right. But to be honest with you, I'm sitting here in a ridiculous red hoodie that I not put in the wash for a year. It's got toothpaste stains around it because I brushed my teeth while sitting on the loo in the evening and it dribbled down. And a pair of lounging trousers with a patch on them. So I'm not going to have a go, really, at Tom Curran's sartorial choices. They're his.
Very, very wise. Within some of the live chats, we've had a super chat from Swadin who said, if you are Mama Curran, what will you say to your sons tonight on the phone?
Don't worry, you're not Ben.
First of all, you have separate phone conversations. You don't do it all in once, do you? you have to be a little bit. You have to back channel one of those. Don't do it in the family WhatsApp. Is my recommendation.
Tom, you did so well. Who's mummy's little soldier? Sam, you were so good tonight. You truly taught your brother a lesson there, but you did lose. So who's the real winner?
Well, Judy Murray is probably the person you need to get on the podcast to find out.
that's a good point. Let's move on to the Delhi Capitals batting. Let's move on to Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan's batting. There wasn't an awful lot else to talk about. Ross, you have been telling us for months now that Prithvi Shaw is the worst batter in world cricket.
Seen one IPL, so.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
What do your own words taste like?
Oh, no, it's okay. So the reason I've got this cricket bat here is because Prithvi Shaw in the first IPL was actually holding it this way around. And what he's actually done is realised that if he holds it that way, it actually works considerably better. So I think it was great to see him actually return to being a cricketer. And it's amazing what a couple of net practices can actually do to your technique and working with Ricky Ponting. You're not going to really get a better teacher than that, are you?
He looked good today. Max, did you have a favourite moment from the Delhi Capitals innings? Obviously, as a CSK fan, this was quite a traumatic experience for you to sit through. But there must have been something. I mean, like Shikhar Dhawan was beautiful today, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. And he really sort of, I think there was kind of a situation where you look at the CSK lineup and Chahal Thakur, who looked really good in the bilateral series with England, and was made to look very average by Shikhar Dhawan. And I think I think we may have seen a case of coming up against a couple of players who are just at such a high level that they make you look rubbish. In terms of a favourite particular moment from the Delhi Capitals innings, Kai Havertz actually scored a really good goal roughly while Shikhar Dhawan, I'm pretty sure, were splaying Deepak Chahar all over the place. So probably that.
I gotta ask about Chahal Thakur because I don't understand. He just didn't bowl the same way he bowled against England.
This was one of my questions. Where was this guy when England needed to hit a guy around in the T20 series?
It was very, very baffling, wasn't it? Because he did bowl one ball, he banged in quite hard and it skipped on it and stuff. He didn't have that, you know, those wide Yorkers and then those wide slower balls that were completely bamboozling.
I think I saw him bowl one of those wide Yorkers towards the end when the game was very much dead.
Yeah, well, I think it's because he bowled most of them to Sam Curran, and because he's in the same team as Sam Curran, he doesn't know to bowl them. But it was very baffling. Aside from the moon ball from Moeen, though, I thought that there was a near spectacular moment when Dwayne Bravo, who bowled very well, incidentally, I mean, slightly worrying, I think, for CSK that how important Dwayne Bravo looks like in that bowling lineup. But then one was slapped back at him by Dhawan, really low, and he still managed, while he was going the other way, to get a hand to it, not break any fingers, not take the catch, fall strangely in the opposite direction, but not dramatically. So it was very strange when you watched it the first time. So as a commentator, I was curious because I thought, oh my God, I have no idea how I'd have described that any other time. It looked like he'd been sort of shot by the mystery gunner. But when he saw it in the replay, he nearly pulled off a worldie.
I suppose the beauty of Test match cricket is that you'd probably have about half an hour after that moment to describe it between you and decide what it did actually look like, and maybe throw it out to Twitter as well. Actually,
it's rather like a dyspeptic llama, I thought, the way he fell.
Ross, Chennai overall were, you know, pretty bad with the ball, weren't they? They didn't build much pressure, and part of that's probably because they're extremely slow in the field. Dan Weston, the other Dan, we only have Dan's on as guests on this podcast. He pointed out that basically over a T20 innings, they're conceding at least four runs from just not being able to get to the ball quick enough with their fielding. And that doesn't take into account boundaries that they don't stop because they can't dive or, chase after the ball. How badly do you think their fielding hurt them? Did it just look bad, or is there a more serious problem having a team of sort of ancient geezers trying to contain a bunch of 20-year-olds?
Well, the thing is, it wasn't even the ancient guys who were the problem. Gaikwad dropped a sitter in the deep, and he missed one. The fielding on both teams wasn't great, other than Shikhar Dhawan, I think. But
Jadeja.
Jadeja goes without saying, doesn't it, really? The guy is supreme. It's always like he doesn't even touch the grass. He just hovers above the grass like some kind of like, I don't know. But
having one guy who can stop the ball out of your 11 players isn't great,
it's not ideal, no.
They do have Sam Curry. They do have Faf du Plessis, part of it is you've got Suresh Raina. I'm sorry to come back to it. Suresh Raina doesn't look massively mobile on the field, but also, because you watch the game from behind the bowler's arm, you also see the fantastic immobility of MS Dhoni, which we've come to take for granted for years. But honestly, if he lived in England, there would be a group of policemen guarding him for fear that he was going to be toppled by an angry mob in Bristol. He is that immobile. it's kind of odd. And so it gives the impression that it's static all the time, you know, whereas, you know, Rishabh Pant's a live wire. Talking about his captaincy earlier, rather disparagingly, I thought he didn't do an awful lot wrong, maybe, you know, leaving a Wokes over out, but he actually looks like he's engaged, whereas, and I know Dhoni's been doing this for years, and I know that that's the style, but it sort of communicated that feel to us watching, didn't it, of the old geezers against the 20-year-old blokes running them ragged. There was a bit
general
of
general lethargy.
Sense. Yeah, there was a sense of that.
And there's a bit, though, where if you're going to bring on a sub-fielder, make sure they're a really good fielder. They brought on Mitchell Santner, who fell over when he went to catch one and got his studs caught in the ground.
That was unlucky.
Dropped there. And then I think it was the next ball he went to pick one up and he just ran past the ball. I was just like, I mean, India in the World Cup, they always brought Jadeja on as a sub. Like, there's not a better sub-fielder you're going to do there. At least try and pick some people who can definitely field.
But also, why not bowl him more? Because, you know, what Chennai needed with their bowling attack was something a bit different. The thing is that Jadeja can be different in every over. You know, he bowled one day, but it must have been about 75 miles an hour that he pinged wide of the off stump. And Shaw looked at it, said, surely that's a wide. No, mate, it was about a foot inside. You just didn't see it. Yeah. It was, and he could give you that. He bowled two overs for 16. His entire career is about being left out when he's one of the best all-rounders of all time. It's absolutely baffling. I have no idea why that happened. And I thought that was the bigger talking point, really, that his two overs that were left out made, I think, more difference than Wokes' one over, because CSK, I think, are going to struggle anyway. So it could well come down to net run rate with them. You know, we've seen around
the
world...
in the race for eighth and seventh?
Look, we saw what happened last year. They nearly squeaked it, and net run rate was crucially important then. And it is actually in most T20 leagues around the world. It's usually the case that their last qualification spot is determined by net run rate because sides are so equal. So you've got to be canny all the way through. And I thought both sides weren't a bit at the end. It's part of the reason why I think Max thought the game had got a bit boring, because Delhi should have looked to win that in 17.3, and CSK didn't use Jadeja just to try to mix it up, so now change it up a bit, you know, and you thought, well, there's just resources being left on the field willy-nilly. But, you know, it's early days, isn't it? I suppose they're all a bit rusty and trying to get used to their surroundings.
Well, let's talk about what we learned then, and we'll start with you, Max, Chennai Super King super fan. I'm never going to get bored of the fact that you drew them in the draw. And Dan, we might have to explain that to you a little bit later on the show, because you could participate. Chennai Super Kings, no one was very confident about their chances in this year's IPL, at least not on this podcast. Did we just see why today? Or should the Super Kings fans be hopeful?
Well, I mean, for half the game, I would have said, yeah, we could. You should be. We are the fans. We should be hopeful because a lot of what we've been worried about is sort of, just a slowness in the way they go about building their innings with the bat. I mean, it was a slow power play again, which is what we've seen, but that was largely down to really good bowling up front by the Delhi Capitals openers, Avish Khan and Chris Wokes, both bowled really well. And, you know, a couple of early wickets will always hold you back. And they bounce back from that really well. Suresh Raina looking like he's back is a real positive. And that is something that should give some cause for optimism for Super Kings fans. And then the death as well. I mean, we were used to last season, Dhoni coming in and eating up 3-4 overs doing nothing and then failing to actually kick on when that was clearly his plan. And we saw this time out actually some good death hitting from Sam Curran and Jadeja. So that was good. I mean, that kind of fixed some of the problems that we had. Unfortunately, the bowling was it really lacked something, didn't it? I'm not sure what it was. I mean maybe Shardul just had a really bad day and in future games, once he's with a bit deeper into the tournament, he will come good. But I think someone may have mentioned it in the chat right at the start that there does seem to be a lack of pace in there.
I think this venue is particularly bad for them. I think that's why their bowling looks so average. They've got a lot of guys who bowl about 130 k's tops, and they really need to lean on their variations. Now, on that wicket, there wasn't enough variation to them. They just sort of came down a little bit slower and
it's not the kind of pitch. It's not the kind of pitch that's going to grip easily either. So you can't go for, you know, that kind of the slower ball half tracker, which seems to be really effective on those kinds of pitches. that's a little concerning, but maybe Jason Behrendorf will be the answer.
Well, Max, the big question for me is when are we going to see Pujara opening up? I mean, Gaikwad. I mean, I reckon Pujara would have done a better job than Gaikwad today. So it's only a matter of time.
Well, that's my fault because I was trying to decide between Gaikwad and Ryodu for my IPL fantasy team. And I went for Gaikwad. So, I mean, that's on me, I'm afraid. That one, sorry.
Ross, Delhi Capitals, they were criticised for being a little bit slow last year, a bit one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. They were anything but today. Are they going to win the IPL now?
I don't know. They're definitely going to be contenders based on... there wasn't even their strongest team, right? Rabada and Norkia weren't there. Steve Smith on the sidelines, which was great to see. them kind of going, actually, Hetmyer's a little bit better than you, mate. Sorry. I think it's a positive sign. There was a stat last year that the only team not to get a 100 opening partnership was Delhi Capitals. So they've got that in the first game. So it's great to see someone like... Shaw and Darwin actually back into a bit of form.
I think you made a good point about them not having their best team out. I think you're specifically talking about Norkia and Rabada there, right? Last season, those two took 54% of their wickets. To get what effectively is a bonus win out of one of the two matches where they're not around is a pretty nice way for them to start off the season. Mm-hmm. We had a few questions on from Twitter. I think we've got to a lot of them, but we do have one from the wonderfully named Crap O'Holic. and it basically comes down to, Dan, you can answer this. Why is Dhoni in this CSK team? Should they be moving on?
Why? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because he's an icon of Indian cricket. He sells lots of shirts and gets people watching it. I don't know. He'll probably produce a match-winning display at some point. But batters don't tend to produce that many match-winning displays coming in at number seven over the course of an entire season. And I'm not sure he's necessarily such a good keeper that he justifies being in there just for his, you know, for his gloves. So it's a very good question, but I think the question answers itself, really. You sort of know why, because there's always room in the IPL for icons. It started off like that, really, when it first began. It was a sort of showcase for great, venerated cricketers from around the world who weren't particularly mobile, and it's changed enormously. So I think that question is born from how the IPL has evolved and is now, you know, one of the great spectacles in world cricket. And Dhoni feels like he's a little bit of a relic, perhaps, but some people come to their natural end. I think that he could probably not be batting ahead of Sam Curran. I'm not quite sure what Sam Curran's doing at eight, to be brutally honest with you, because it's clear, and I think it's been clear for since the last IPL as well, that his impact with the bat is what you want to be getting most out of him for, and a couple of overs up top, which today didn't come out too well for him. He overpitched a little bit, and Darwin was onto him pretty quickly, but he did get some swing, and that's how you want to use him, two overs at the top, and an impact hitter at five or six, and they're not doing it. So I think everyone's just not using their resources right, Jack. I'm just not quite sure why. It's almost like they've forgotten each other after 4 months away. Well, what do you do again? Well, I'd swing bowler hits it a bit. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, I mean, is eight all right today? Yeah, eight's fine. Skip. Yeah.
In both matches so far, there have been some reasonably strong village cricket vibes. I mean, we saw about eight bowlers for RCB yesterday. Obviously, they'd all paid their match fee and Kohli wanted to give them all a chance. And then today, I mean, Chennai Super Kings, they actually look like a village team.
The most village thing was, is it Avesh, the bot bowler, who bowled really well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the boundary, he went to stop it with his feet. Like, that is, that is just a no-go in any level of cricket. And to see that...
I beg to differ.
There are actually a lot of peak cricketers on a Saturday and Sunday have made that into a particularly good skill, to the point that they can do it on the run and flick it up into their hands. I've seen it and it's brilliant, especially when it's done by a 58-year-old with a big gut.
That is a serious commitment to not bending over, isn't it?
on Dhoni, just a quick question. If he's going to play. I mean, because we were wondering when he was going to turn up in that batting order today. Where should he be batting? I mean, should we be sticking him up the top? Maybe open with him?
Hey, right.
That's a really good question, mate.
It's not the maddest idea, is it? I mean, if he's got to play,
I still think lower order hitter is his best position, and the reason for that, to get a little bit nerdy, is that he hits a lot of sixes, and that is incredibly useful when you can have four or five fielders patrolling boundaries. He's never going to be the consistent MS Dhoni that we saw, you know, three years ago and earlier, but I think there's probably still some production there. He maybe just needs to have a little think about what his role is exactly.
Ooh, get you. And, I mean, do you want to tell him that?
Well, this is possibly part of the problem. This is possibly part of the problem. And Jarrod Kimber's talked about this a lot on some of his podcasts, and how some analysts in the IPL are very deferential towards senior players and coaches. The reality is MS Dhoni in 2021 is not the guy who can come in at five. He's not what AB de Villiers can do for Royal Challengers Bangalore. The guy who comes in as soon as a wicket falls after the 11th over, bats through to the end of the game, maybe scores 80 or 30. Like, that's not in his locker really anymore, at least not consistently. But he does hit a lot of sixes. And if he's facing sort of 10 balls, he might still be a really useful hitter down there. I think that just needs to be clarified a little bit. Ross, one last question from Twitter, then we'll throw over to you for some chat stuff. Prax 2000. Should Delhi play Norkia, Wokes and Rabada, or they need to play at least two overseas batters?
I think that's a challenge. I think Stoinis has to be in the side. I think Rabada has to be in the side.
Never said that 2 years ago.
I mean, it's just funny, isn't it?
I can't believe that.
Well, listen, he's just, I mean, even when he came in today, he kind of oozed calmness, right? And he came in, hit a couple of boundaries and made it really, really easy for them. I'm not sure he should have been bowled his two overs, like you said, Dan. But I think it's difficult to fit Wokes into that side if you aren't going to strengthen the batting. And I think with Shreyas Iyer actually out, do you try and use Rahane in that kind of in that role? Not every game for Delhi is going to go like it did today. Prithvi Shaw, as I've been chastised in the chat for. And Darwin aren't going to have a 100 run opening partnership all the time, so it's going to take a little bit of time for them to figure it out. But it was great to see Wokes play today, and when the ball swings, there's not too many people who are that much better than Wokes in that kind of in limited overs cricket.
Yeah, I think it's really hard on Wokes, isn't it? Because he's another one who keeps on getting left out, a bit like Jadeja with superb numbers and getting better and better. But you can't, I mean, maybe there's a case that Nourkia is not going to play in every game. It's going to depend on the conditions. And if they feel that the ball's going to swing, then Wokes would play there and Nourkia would step down. Or maybe Rabada and Nourkia need to, in some games, one or the other needs to be rested because the games do come pretty thick and fast. And they're in this bubble and they've just come from having played a series as well. So there'll be a bit of player management, won't there? I know it's a bit boring, but you don't always put out the side that is your best side in every game because you just can't really do that. Over
a rotation policy, you say?
Well, you could call it a rotation policy, yes, or the management of your human resources. I mean, you know, I know I like to have a day off the cooking every now and then in this house and, you know, and maybe not have to iron and hoover and wash and clean constantly because no one else will do it. And so, yeah, I mean, and I'm best at it. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's better if someone else just fills in for a day.
Ross, let's go over to the chat because I did see that we were getting lambasted for not reading anything out.
That's okay. Well, I'll go one that's just come in, and I want to talk a little bit about this. So, Himanshu Bors has said, should CSK play Behrendorf and Ngidi together? I'm going to take this one because I don't actually rate Ngidi that much. I think he's okay, but actually he's not the person who's going to bowl you your 90 mile an hour rockets that CSK are ultimately looking for him. And Jason Behrendorf has had what maybe one good game at the international level.
It was a really good ball he bowled to James Vince at the 2019 World. It was a ball of the tournament. I don't even know, can Behrendorf play yet? Because he's a late call-up. He'll have to go through quarantine, you'd imagine.
I think
they're not amazing alternatives, are they? Let's be honest.
No, I think they've got to play Ngidi because of the lack of alternatives at the moment, to be honest. But I agree with Ross. I'm not sure that if he's a fine bowler, but I don't think he's up there with the other bowlers, you know, like Rabada and Nourkia, for example.
South African bowlers, he's not in that
exactly.
Bracket.
Exactly. How are you going to get them in? So, but I don't think it'll do him any harm to get him in because they look like they lack pace. Then they need some alternative to what they've currently got.
So Shubman Cadillac asked, can CSK do anything to actually improve their fast bowling? Or maybe have a better auction strategy would be first on the list.
Go back in time, yeah. I think there is a thing with CSK on their auction strategy, and you do have to factor in a little bit that we're in a bonus year from the last mega auction. So they probably, you know, weren't banking on or didn't think that they'd need to get an extra year at a Bravo, for instance. And I mean, they are old, but part of the reason that they are old is that they haven't really had the chance to properly go back into the market as it works in the IPL and get anyone young.
And you also made the point, one of you made a point earlier, about, you know, CSK is a side that has been made for home conditions, which is a very good idea most of the time because you're going to play hybrid games at home. So if you can win, you know, 6 out of 7 of them or even 5 out of 7, you give yourself a really good chance of qualifying. But they're playing on neutral venues like the UAE had here. So they've been badly treated by COVID for having a pretty decent Chennai strategy, but they're not being able to employ it because they're not playing at Chennai. So that is a bit of an issue.
Sure. And I think the Wankhede Stadium is probably the worst ground for them of the, maybe Eden Gardens is potentially a worse venue for them. But the way they are set up, it batting and bowling wise, it just doesn't particularly suit their skill sets. Ross, what else we got?
Oh, we've got so much. Hanaz Kazi asked, what do you make of Ishant Sharma and Steve Smith's exclusion? Max, you're probably a massive Ishant Sharma fan, I'm guessing. So I'm going to go to you.
Can I ask you why you'd say that?
No, you can't. Right, you okay. I asked the question, not you.
All right, okay. He's putting his foot down. I was, I was surprised that Ishant Sharma didn't play. I thought he would benefit from from being fit again, maybe, and the fact that there was no Rabada and Nourkia. But Avish Khan played and he was brilliant. So you can't ask any questions about that. And Steve Smith, not surprised at all. You don't need Steve Smith in there to play an anchor role when you have got someone like Rahane who can do it and not fill up an overseas slot.
Well, another great auction strategy from one of the IPL teams.
Very bizarre.
Jack, well, the conversation we've had before, you don't particularly rate Faf du Plessis quite as highly. And in the chat, there's multiple questions around, is his position in the team kind of questionable? And what I really need to stress here is that we have got in pretty hard, or I've not actually for the first time, got in pretty hard on Doney here. For his first game, Faf and him both got ducks. There's a long season to go, but should Faf's position be under question, Jack?
It's pretty harsh, I think, after one game to say somebody should be dropped in T20 cricket. But I will go back to sort of what I've said before. I don't think he's a particularly dynamic T20 player. I think he's a little bit slow with the bat. Last year, his strike rate looks okay because he had a few innings where he got in, and that covers for the innings where he scores a run a ball. But I think there's just a few too many innings where he scores a run a ball. So I'd probably have looked elsewhere before today. Again, it's an auction point. Maybe what they could do is open with Moeen Ali and Sam Curran or some derivative of that. Get rid of Faf du Plessis, bring in Ngidi to bolster the bowling and balance the team out that way a little bit.
I think that'd be a good option because we were looking at what? Dwayne Bravo would have come in at 9 and Thacker at 10. I mean, talk about batting deep.
Deep. Yeah. It's almost too deep.
Well, it is
too deep for T20.
It's way too deep. It's way too deep. When you look at that side, you think, is there a less dynamic opening pairing in the tournament? You know, Rajasthan are going to try and have, what was it, Stokes and Butler or something at the top of the order. Stokes and Butler or Gaikwad and Du Plessis? I mean, really, that sort of tells you everything you need to know. And as you said, you know, Max, you've got Dwayne Bravo and Chardal Thacker can whack the ball everywhere. It seems like you're losing your resources. Your resources are just not being used. And that is, again, a source of... I'm getting darker and darker here.
It is. You're getting very dark. we're up to... We've just gone over 40 minutes, so I think we should think about wrapping up soon. Before we do, though, Dan, do you support a team in the IPL?
I support Rajasthan. And I always have them from the very beginning because they were the minnows and they had the least money.
I was going to offer you the opportunity to randomly draw a team that you should support from today onwards. But if there's already a team you support, now you can join Ross Legg, who randomly drew Rajasthan.
Well, tell me who's left, and I'll tell you if I can bear to change my mind.
Kolkata, Kings 11, Punjab.
Punjab Kings,
you mean?
I'm going to get that the whole tournament.
Delhi Capitals are left.
Yeah.
And Sunrisers, isn't it?
And Sunrisers, yeah.
Oh, well, there's someone like there. But the thing is, I'd feel dirty. I'd feel dirty. I wouldn't want to do Kolkata, but I'd just find their kit a bit garish. And Andre Russell with the gold boots and everything, it was too much.
I think it would suit you wearing a bit of gold boots. Jack, so I mean, I've got two more questions. The first one is around, there's been plenty of chat in the live chat, whatever it's going to be called, around your prediction that Delhi were going to struggle this year. And you said they would be lucky to finish kind of fifth or sixth. Has today reshaped your opinion, or are you still sticking in that lane?
I didn't say they would be lucky to finish fifth or sixth. I think they'd be lucky to finish fourth. I think they're... are better teams. Today is a big boost for them, though, because as I was sort of saying earlier, they're missing their two best bowlers from last year, Norkia and Rabada, and that sort of factors into the idea that over a 14-game season, they might not get 8 wins. They only have to win 7 matches from now. Rabada and Norkia are back after the next one. I think it's looking more healthy. Prithvi Shaw scored about a third of the number of runs he scored the whole of last season in one game today. As there are more reasons to be more optimistic for Delhi than there were for 4 hours ago. But I still don't think they're wonderful.
That's okay. Let's preview a little bit for the game tomorrow, which sees Max's Sunrisers Hyderabad from last season. Now you've obviously been a turncoat and gone to CSK versus the garish Kolkata Knight Riders, as Dan clearly dislikes. Max, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think is going to win out of that game?
I think this is going to be a really interesting one because with KKR, just don't really know what you're going to get with them. They're a bit of a lottery team, aren't they? And with Sunrisers, Sunrisers have got Chennai in their favour and a lot of high quality spin. So I'm gonna plump for Sunrisers.
Mr. Norcross, what do you think?
Well, despite supporting Manchester Royals, I suspect that Sunrisers might win the whole tournament. So now they might lose tomorrow, of course, but I don't think that the balance of probabilities that Sunrisers will win tomorrow, and I think they'll win 10 group games, and they'll go straight through the final, and they'll win a nail biter against Mumbai.
And Jack,
10.
10, yeah, 10 out of 14. they're going to go on a run right at the beginning, and then they're going to dip quite close to the end before winning their last group game. I can see it all.
We think that Rashid Khan's going to be the orange cap winner. No, the purple cap.
Ross. But,
yeah.
And the orange cap, Max. We think he's that good.
Yeah, well, he'll get an orange cap thrown in for playing for Sunrisers.
For Sunrisers, so. Yeah. And Jack, what about you? Let's finish it there.
Well, I mean, Sunrisers is the obvious choice, isn't it? So I think Owen Morgan will do some genius and Kolkata will win. How about that?
Okay. You'll do some genius.
I love that. I think that's what they call it.
Sorry, love. I'm just doing some genius.
Right, that's the end of today's episode of the Cricket Podcast. We will be back after tomorrow's game. We've got DJ from Edges and Sledges, which I know there's a little bit of crossover in our audience there, joining us. Max, I think you're not, are you? So
no,
bye-bye to you, Max.
Tomorrow.
And bye-bye to you, Dan. Ross. Pleasure. I'm seeing a lot of you at the moment, so I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And you should like and subscribe to the video and follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Dan, where can they find you?
They can find me at Norcross Cricket, as in neither angry nor cross, Norcross Cricket. And that's the only place you can find me, I think, or Tooting Beth if you happen to be wandering by.
Hey.
Listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.